Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, workforce development, and other renewable energy companies owned by African-American companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week, ladies and gentlemen, by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information about that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. Scroll over to our GoFundMe link and we'll be able to read about the Black Sports Legends HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to that initiative over the platform of Blog Talk Radio over the World Wide Web. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link, and we can also be heard on iTunes. Ladies and gentlemen, this show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks and Solar, and you can get more information about that organization by logging on to Blacks in Solar, BlacksInSolar.org. That's BlacksInSolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a scheduled guest today, but we are expecting some callers calling in that I've asked to call in. And we're going to be discussing a very, very, very timely and important matter. As we look at our nation's capital and as we zero in on an issue surrounding the energy tax credits, and I think that this is very, very timely when we begin to look at the fact that the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, which President Biden signed 1 week ago, here in Washington, D.C. And we will be going into our second portion of our show talking about how that Inflation Reduction Act lowers energy costs, creates jobs, and tackles climate change across America. Now, I don't know if you join us on a regular basis, but you want to call or contact your friends, and you want them to log in to this particular podcast and make sure you make your friends and your friends' friends aware of this economic impact. We want to start off here as we examine a case that was brought by the D.C. General Attorney General's office against Pepco, which is our largest utility provider here in the nation's capital. Pepco systematically mishandles solar projects, says D.C. Attorney General. And you will have an opportunity to log on to our news and events tab. And this article is posted there under positivechangepc.com. And you'll scroll down to the article. It's the second one at the top of our information blog. And you can click on that blog. And we're going to sort of set the table by just going in and reading this article, which was written by Jacob Finston, a reporter with WAMU, and he did an excellent job in reporting on this. Now, this particular article was written back on March 23rd of 2022. Pepco has committed a pattern of systematic violations in its handling of the solar projects in D.C., potentially overcharging more than 6,000 customers, according to the D.C. Office of Attorney General and the Office of the People's Counsel. The two offices jointly filed a complaint today detailing their allegations, saying that the power company's actions are undermining the progress to the district's clean energy climate goals. Complaints from developers, customers, and the Department of Columbia, D.C. Department of District of Columbia Energy and Environment staff illuminate that Pepco has repeatedly violated its legal requirements. And the readings are here, and you can also click on the blue link under the article, and it will take you directly to the PDF that will provide you with the complaint that was filed. The allegations and violations have to do with community solar installations in the district, where residents who may not have rooftop to put on their own solar panels, or who may not be able to make investments, can subscribe to larger solar projects. In return, subscribers are supposed to get credits on their Pepco bills, reducing electricity charges depending on how much power they share of the community solar project has generated during a given billing period. Pepco's actions has resulted in higher monthly household energy bills that subscribers say they've been paying. The filings say of the 6,200 community solar subscribers in the city, 5,000 are enrolled for free through the D.C. Solar for All program, paid for by the Department of Energy and Environment. This program is available to any residents making less than 80% of the area median income and promises to cut subscribers' electricity bills in half by in 15 years. Now, I want to make plain and sure that this is also affecting individual homeowners who or have applied for the DC Solar for All program, which is, I think, is an excellent program. We have championed that program over this platform. We've actually done talk shows, radio shows, and recruited individuals to the program, and there are some major issues that residents have, and we're going to get to those issues a little later on in the show, but we're going to go back into the program format this day, because what we're going to do, we're going to finish caption or overview of this article, then we're going to get to the, as we said, we're going to make it plain on this show. Now, this program, the Solar for All program, was developed in order to ensure that more D.C. residents, specifically those who are low income or do not have real estate or solar panels themselves, would be able to join the effort that the district has embarked on to ensure that it meets its clean energy goals moving forward, said Kathleen Kapoka, Deputy Attorney General, who leads the OAG's Public Advocacy Division. The complaint was filed by the D.C. Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities in the city. According to the complaint, Pepco has botched its handling of community solar projects in numerous ways. The utility is undercutting the solar energy generation at the community solar projects, according to the filing, and it is systematically failing to provide accurate and timely solar credits for customers. Well, this is also happening with homeowners who have PV systems on their roofs, and they have an app. And this is a complaint that I have gotten from many of the people who I have recommended to the program, that it's an excellent program, but in terms of any credits, additional, and how these credits come about, ladies and gentlemen, is 1,000 kilowatts to make 1 kilowatt hour. Those hours, or those 1,000 kilowatts in that hour, are actually traded on a day-to-day basis as green credits on the commodities market. So they fluctuate. But because of the aggressive law that the District of Columbia has put in place, there in a 2018 Omnibus Act, Renewable Portfolio Standard Law, is the most aggressive in the country. Now, Jamie Caswell, a spokesperson for Pepco, said comment on the complaint as the company has yet had time to fully review it. We are committed to handling the district's to helping the district to achieve leading climate goals and to continue to support customers with interconnections, their local solar into the local grid, and helping connect our customers with community solar projects, Caswell said in an email to the reporter at DCIST. DCIST is the name of this online paper. Following details, numerous solar facilities where Pepco has installed its own meters to monitor electricity production. Some months, Pepco has reported zero electricity generated by those facilities, despite the facility's owners recording continuing generation. These discrepancies, the filings say, indicate that Pepco is, let me slide up this one little bit. Okay, let me get back to this. Been criticized by the setbacks of the efforts to cut green gas emissions through the clean energy and make sure low and moderate income residents benefit from solar. according to the D.C. law. 100% of the electricity sold in the city must come from clean energy sources by 2032, including 10% from local generated solar. Additionally, the district has goals to cut carbon emissions by 50% by 2032 and to be carbon neutral by 2050. As part of reaching these goals, the district is aiming to enroll 100,000 households in the Solar for All program by 2032. The objective that could be jeopardized, according to the complaint, is if the residents lose confidence in the program. Now, undebated, these violations could, if they're not abated, these violations could seriously hamper the district's ability to meet its goals to expand clean energy use, foster consumer access, renewable energy generation, and reduce energy bills, says is stated in the filing. Recently, Pepco has been criticized for levying fees averaging nearly $10,000 on residents installing solar panels on their rooftop. Well, and for the bogging down solar projects by slowing their interconnections them to the power grid. According to the complaint, both the Attorney General's Office and the People's Counsel's Office, an independent agency that advocates for utility ratepayers, have spent the past 2 years trying to get Pepco to address these problems with handling community solar without success. After a lot of time of working with Pepco, we brought this case in order to ask the Public Service Commission to open an investigation in its conduct. Now, in addition to requiring the investigation, the complaint also asked for the commission to force Pepco to pay back customers and the facility owners who have been shortchanged. The filing also asked the commission to penalize Pepco for repeatedly violating the district's law. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business when we're talking about billions of dollars in tax credits being, quote unquote, on the line as we look at how this is going to play out in the District of Columbia as it relates to the Solar for All program. Now, I'm going to play for you a brief video, which in fact will enable you to understand how much work, how much planning, and we're talking about over $256.1 million is being raised through fees to capitalize the Green Bank of Washington, D.C. This money goes into the coffers of the Public Service Commission. And these monies are supposed to be dedicated to assist the district with meeting their very aggressive climate goals to address global warming. Recently, there was a summit held here in Washington by the Department of DOE entitled DC Clean Energy Summit Pathway to Decarbonization. Now, what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play this information.
I believe it's the most important issue of our time.
You're listening to Willie Phillips, former head of the Public Service Commission.
I know how important these types of convenings are, and so I commend the commission for pulling this outstanding group of
of speakers and professionals together in the same room. In 2019, the council enacted the Clean Energy Omnibus Amendment Act, which established the most aggressive clean energy goals in the region.
So how are we going to meet these ambitious goals? We have an extraordinary panel that are out there figuring that question out. They're doing that in the public sector. They're doing that in the private sector. And we're doing that in a way that serves our D.C. residents fairly and equitably.
There's not a silver bullet that's going to get us there. It's an iterative process that we might hand off to those fifth-generation Washingtonians in my house to help them finish off the job. But I'm convinced that this city has shown leadership over the last decade, and particularly under Mayor Bowser, and we will continue to succeed and meet with the goal.
We really no longer have the luxury of pontificating on what we should do and what we can do. We have to act now.
We need to be innovative in every way we can to reduce overall costs and utilize that infrastructure.
Many of the problems of climate change are collective action problems, so therefore solutions require collaboration.
So the question, who's the boss? I think it's every individual, every utility executive, every voter in the country, because as we can see from the numbers, we need some action. We need some action now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., hosted the first Clean Energy Summit, Path to Decarbonization, on September 28, 2021, which was almost a complete year ago. The event brought together as the Director of Energy and Environment, Director Tommy Wells, spoke, brought together keynotes, speakers, panelists from the federal, state, and local industry leaders who came together to answer questions and open discussion on how to chart a path to the clean energy future here in our nation's capital. I'm trying to set the table so my listening audience that comes on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, can understand just how important this is. Now, I was supposed to be joined this morning by some individuals who I've recommended the Solar for All program, and one operations manager with one of our leading African-American solar installation and design firms here in Washington, D.C., WDC Solar, but I understand that people have a lot of things on their plate. But one of the things that I had in the discussion with their operation manager, Mrs. Deborah Lowes, was that they were also receiving these complaints from participants who their solar installation and development firm has a contract with the OEE, and they've done a great number of installs in wards 8-7 east of the river. And people are no longer receiving their checks from Pepco. Now, they're calling the solar installation firm that really has nothing to do with that. Now, we want to provide some contact telephone numbers for our listening audience, because we're not just here talking the talk. We're sort of walking the walk, because what we've done, we've taken the time and we did a little preparation for this show in contacting some of the agencies that are responsible for people being able to file complaints. Now, if you have a complaint about not your and you have a PV system on your roof, a solar system on your roof, or a property here in the District of Columbia, and you don't feel as though you are receiving the correct compensation based on the energy that your system is generating that is being sold back to Pepco, then you need to call the Office of Consumer Services. You can, that telephone number for Pepco is 202-626-5120. Once again, that phone number is 202-626-5120. Now, you also want to call Service Commission in Washington, D.C., and the telephone number you want to call is 202-261-1180. Now, if once you log on to the dc.psc.gov, Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., go to their, on the top of their Public Service Commission website, if you go to the far right and look at the top bar, there is a complaint link there where you can file a complaint concerning this issue here with the Public Service Commission. They also, you may want to inquire, make an inquiry once you're able to reach someone, because they are working remotely. This is one of the things that we want to make sure that we explain to our listening audience. Because of the pandemic, the government and district and federal, most of those employees are still working remotely from home. They're not back in these buildings. So it's very, very difficult actually reaching someone at these agencies, but you will have to leave a message if you don't have access to an internet or smartphone where you can log on to these sites and register your complaint with these agencies. Also, you want to be aware of if you have any problems with the panels or some kind of problem with how the your solar system is operating and you feel that there are some issues, you can contact the D.C. Office of Sustainability and Utility in Washington, D.C. It's called DCSEU. Their telephone number is 202-479. Once again, that telephone number is 202-479-2222. Now, let's get back and look at some of these issues that people are having, okay? One of the major issues is that when the Solar for All program was first introduced to the community here in Washington, D.C., yours truly had the did attend meetings in all 8 wards of the District of Columbia. And we listened very, very intently to an organization now is known as Neighborhoods United. They were then known as DC Sun. This organization was started here in Washington, D.C. by Mrs. Anna Schulman. And she had a contract with the Department of Energy and Environment where they provided the educational component for a community engagement and outreach in the District of Columbia to get people and make them aware of how to go about forming a co-op, how to go about selecting an installer, how to go about purchasing better, higher quality voltage panels, because all solar panels don't generate the same amount of voltage or energy. And the more efficient those panels are, the more energy that you can get with less panels. And so what we refer to as a 5kW system here in Washington, D.C., usually is about 10 panels on the roof. And you can have panels. that puts out the lowest voltage, but you can have a, what they would call a 10 kW system with the same number of panels if you put on higher grade panels. They're a little more expensive, but it, when you're talking about 25 years down the road in the long term, you're going to benefit a heck of a lot more than using those low grade, grade cheap panels. And that's getting it from the horse's mouth. We've done the research on this, on these issues, and we want to make sure that our people understand this is all relative as it relates to what we're going to be talking about in our next segment of our show. Now, we were hoping that we would be joined this morning by some callers, but people chose not to call in. I think people are somewhat gun-shy or afraid. I'm going to be candid. Sometimes come on and talk about these issues, but the public's got to step up. I can't be the voice for everybody, and I can't file a complaint on your behalf. You have to do it yourself. What we try to do with this platform through the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative is educate our people around these issues. And we want to talk about some of these other issues that are impacting other jurisdictions. As we look at Maryland, right across the line, in as we move down the road today on this platform. But I found this was that these issues are very, very, very interesting. That you have individuals, attorneys who live in the District of Columbia and have homes in the District of Columbia. Some of them have filed their own private suits against Pepco in this matter. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about an article that appeared in the Washington Post, and it's in my archives on the website. When Pepco initially broke this thing about this fee, it's a $19,000 fee if you want to entertain the idea of putting a PV system on your roof, which has nothing to do with the cost of the system, because they're talking about they need to upgrade the infrastructure in the District of Columbia with all of the fees that are already attached to the rate payers' bills, energy bills in the district, which are driving people to want to put PV systems. This puts a damper over the whole solar marketplace in the district. It makes a person who's out here selling solar panels life a hell of a lot more difficult. And having one of the most lucrative SRECs market in the country is the District of Columbia because of how the Renewable Portfolio Standard legislation, which was the Omnibus Act of 2018. In 2016, when Mayor Bowser signed the first Renewable Portfolio Standard legislation in Washington, D.C., there was a 50% renewable goal by 2032. Because of how the law was written, that the energy credits that the utility company must purchase, green credits that they must purchase back from their energy generators. Now, for hydronetics, which is water, you hear the word hydro, it was almost we go back to our physics class, we're talking about water. They're not going to dam the Anacostia River, so that's not going to work. This ain't Kansas. And you ain't got enough wind constantly blowing in district with all those buildings and the density and population with residential homes for wind to be a reliable sources, a source to decarbonize, meet these decarbonization goals of the district. So solar is the number one thing that the District of Columbia has, because believe me, it gets hot, 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 and not just on Capitol Hill and at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The heat here is this summer has been the hottest summer that I can remember, and I've been in this area over 50 years. It's been hot, ladies and gentlemen. Triple digits. So we're talking about solar systems on people's roofs have been really cranking in and generating energy, maximizing the return on people's investment who did put these PV systems. But if they aren't going to be paid by the utility company, then who benefits other than the utility company? This is major, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a slight pause for the cause. We're going to be right back here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America as we continue to bring you news that we know that you can use here on the platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, I can tell. Singing, life is a song worth singing. Why don't you?
Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, as you join us on a regular basis, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, workforce development, and installation firms to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, also to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also, they educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information, once again, about that initiative by logging on to PositiveChangePC.com. Also, this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on that organization by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great tie-in to what President Biden signed last week, because in the document that they sent out from the White House, they talk about the D.C. Solar for All program and how it's going to help benefit folks Now, if you don't know what the investment Inflation Reduction Act does, it's supposed to lower the costs, create jobs, tackle climate change across America. This is a press release that came out with President Biden signing the legislation, not executive order. This is legislation, ladies and gentlemen. This is a big difference. Executive order can be basically done away with when the next president comes into office. But once it's passed through the House and the Senate, it becomes legislation. It becomes a law. Now, next president can't change that. Now, today the White House released fact sheets highlighting how the Inflation Reduction Act tackles climate change in states across the country and how families and communities can benefit from the clean energy future. The fact sheet outlines how families can save on their utility bills and get tax credits for electric vehicles and energy-saving appliances and access to economic opportunities for a clean energy future. Now, since we were talking about the DMV, D.C. metropolitan Washington area, for those who are outside of what we call the DMV marketplace, we're talking about Virginia, Washington, and Maryland area. It's referred to as the DMV. So we're going to click on my state where I reside here in Maryland, and we're going to look at the Inflation Reduction Act. As I indicated, it's supposed to be the most significant legislation in U.S. history to tackle climate change crisis and strengthen American energy security. As they said, it's supposed to lower energy costs for households and businesses, create manufacturing jobs for American workers, and to deliver a clean, secure, and healthy future for our children and grandchildren. Saving jobs and other benefits provided by this legislation will reach communities across Maryland. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. We're going to delve into that, okay? President Biden promised to combat the existent threat of climate change and build a clean energy future that creates jobs, advances environmental justice, and lowers the cost of families. He's following through on the promise with the Inflation Reduction Act bipartisan infrastructure law. Now, let's look at what this law does. They said the Inflation Reduction IRA will make it more affordable for Maryland families to produce energy efficiency appliances needed to make repairs around the home and save money on their utility bills each month through rebates covering 50 to 100% of the cost of installing new electric appliances, including super efficient heat pumps, water pumps, clothes dryers, stoves, and ovens. In Maryland, millions of low and moderate income households are eligible for these rebates. Well, you got to have a house. You got to have some money to spend with a salary before you can qualify for a rebate, because a rebate means you pay for something and you get a discount on that rebate after you purchase it. But you got to have something to purchase it with. Rebates to households to make repairs and improve its single-family and multifamily homes to increase energy efficiency. Rebates for households to make repairs and improvements in single-family and multifamily homes to increase energy efficiency. Tax credits covering 30% of the cost to install solar panels and battery storage systems make home improvements that reduce energy leakage, upgrades heating, cooling equipment. The income limit supply for solar uptake projected estimates that cover 130,000 additional Maryland households to will encourage them to install solar. Now, let's look at this 30% tax credit. That's a federal tax credit. Here in Maryland, there's also a $1,000 grant that's available if you are putting a PV system on your roof. Now, that is coming from the federal government. It goes to the state. Now, in each county in Maryland, you will be able to find out what the county incentive or initiative is by calling your Office of Tax and Revenue and with someone. And here in Prince George's County, that call number is 301-952-4030, and you want to ask about the solar credit and tax credit for Prince George's County. Now, it's supposed to be between $25,000 to $5,000. The problem with this tax credit, that there is a waiting list. And if you apply in 2022, this has been in existence since 2009. The waiting list goes to 2032. So if you are trying to apply for this tax credit, you got to get on the waiting list, and nobody's going to even entertain giving you being able to use that $5,000 tax credit because they don't have no money. This is where and why I drill down on topics. It is absolutely necessary for you to call your local council member, your senator, and congressman to see how much money is going to be put into these counties to fund these county investment tax credit initiatives. Because somebody got to pay for this, ladies and gentlemen. And if they're going to pass renewable portfolio standard legislation like they have in the district and put fees on people's gas, water, and electric bills to meet to combat climate change, if the government is going to give the money to the state coffers, then the legislators have to make sure that money flows down to the 23 counties. If it is not there, then you'll get a contract like me and my wife did, because we're interested in putting a PV system on our roof. The contract stated that the system would be what we call a 5 kW system, 5 kW system, cost $24,000. Now, when you began to look at the numbers that was presented to us concerning this PV system that we were entertaining putting on our rooftop, when we looked at the contract, it becomes almost misleading. If you want to put total cost of system $24,500, then you provide and put is no longer 26% federal tax credit. It's a 30%. For the 26% federal tax credit, we were looking at $6,370. So if you increase that 4%, you might be close to $7,000 coming off top. With the grant, state grant, that would be here added. Then you say PG County property tax credit, $5,000. Well, if it's a 10-year waiting list, why are you putting this on this contract and then deducting that from the total amount of the cost of the $24,000 system, leaving a balance of $12,370? Now, our situation, because we are baby boomers, and we've been in this house 20 years, but the roof was never repaired when my wife she first purchased this home. We first purchased this home, so it needs to be replaced. So we asked about roof repair. This particular company has a collaboration with a firm. They give you the breakdown on what they call, charge you to remove things per square foot and all this, but it did not even include the materials to replace that. But the long and short, when you look at the total amount that you're financing over 25 years and breaking that down and giving somebody a $100 payment a month, for a system that's $24,000, the $12,000 is coming off the top. If you finance that over 25 years, you're talking about $26,000 if you're making a $100 payment a month. See, these are the this is the reason why I do this show. That's not a deal. Okay? When you can go out and get your own finance. Now, when we began to look at what's available for people in Maryland, there is, if you live in Prince George's County or Montgomery County, there is a repair and accessibility modification program, which is run by Habitat for Humanity. There are income guidelines that you must qualify, and if you would like to participate in this program, please complete an inquiry on their website at www.org. That website, again, is www.habitatmm.org. Now, this particular loan is a no-interest loan. It has, you don't make monthly payments. And unless you do a cash out to refinance that property, you take cash out of that property or sell that property, you'll never have a monthly note. Now, that max or cap on that loan is $60,000, 110% of the property value, but it's capped out at 60. Where you can, as a baby boomer, it's sort of like a reverse mortgage. But the problem is they don't have any funding over there either. These programs that I'm talking about have to be funded at such a level when you got almost 700,000 residents in Prince George's County, man. Montgomery County, 1.something million people. If some real serious money is not put in these programs, how do they benefit those communities who got the word about these programs last? Because they also have a waiting list. And I can tell you, if you look like me, I know I do the research, and I didn't know about the programs until I found about, and I've been producing this show. This is my 271th show. I've been doing this almost since 2015, in 7 years. So it's not people's fault that they don't know what they don't know. But if the agencies are not engaging the community and government agencies do a poor job at that, these folks come to their job to answer the phone. If you don't call them, if you don't know to call them, if you don't know about these programs, you don't know about these programs. Well, President Biden, if you anybody's listening over there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that's the problem with these tax credits. When, in fact, these tax credits, in many cases, are being taken by the solar installation and design firms. And when I drill down on this and I look at the fact that out of 11,000 solar installation firms doing business in the United States of America, we got less than 5,000. It goes to show you why so many upstart companies and people are getting into this industry, because they take full advantage of those tax credits because the homeowners in a lot of cases can't use them. So they can offset the cost of the PV system. They take the state grant. Okay? They'll take that county tax credit if there's money there in that county to fund that off the top. And they can use those tax credits. We need to understand the economics behind this industry. So when you are putting this information out concerning what is going on around renewable energy in the form of this fact sheet, we're going to go ahead and look at some of the other benefits in Maryland. Tax credits, as I said, covering 30% of the cost of the community solar projects owned by local businesses that sign up families to save on their electric bill. I just talked about that. There's a tax credit now available, 30% located for local businesses that sign up families to save on these electric bills. Additional bonus credits of 20% for projects at affordable housing projects, 10% for projects in lower income communities. Grants to help state and local governments adopt the latest building energy codes, which could save an average homeowner in Maryland 10.6% on their utility bills, breaks down to $264 annually. It's supposed to create over 80,000 good-paying jobs by year 2030. Domestic manufacturing will employ 109,000 workers in Maryland, and in the Insulation Reduction Act will help make technologies of the future at home, supporting local economies and strengthening supply chains. Inflation Reduction Act will boost manufacturing and clean energy transportation technologies. Well, if all this is going to happen, how does the black community benefit when we only got 35 African-American solar installation and workforce development training companies, and they're struggling to get their fair share at the table right as we speak? Now, small businesses in Maryland, you got 218,214,000 small businesses. Electric vehicles, there is now a $4,000 tax credit for used EVs if you're going to purchase one, and they kept the $7,500 for new. Clean Air Inflation Act will significantly reduce pollution, resulting in over 100,000 fewer asthma attacks in America by 2030. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an example. You will find the fact sheet for every state in the union and the District of Columbia on my website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You'll be able to log on to the website, and you'll be able to see this information and get this information. We are coming to the close of our podcast today. We are looking at where we are in our live show, because we almost logged of a live show, ladies and gentlemen, so I got to get back to my studio, okay, while we're still here and on the air. So I was expecting to get some folks to call in today. They did not call in, but I hope that they will come and listen to this show, because this information is definitely news that I know individuals out here can use, because as we continue to beat the drum around this green economic development economy, we raise the question, where is the green economic development plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Biden infrastructure plan? 40% of everything across all federal agencies are supposed to go to low and moderate income communities of color. I got news for the African American community. You got a whole bunch of other folks lining up to get those federal dollars that should be coming to our businesses and coming directly to us that they're going to take and come to you and tell you that they're doing you a favor. And with that being said, we're going to close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And what we always say in closing, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us back here as we try to bring you another informative show on this platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth
singing. Why don't you sing it?
Your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?